My name is Gina Nicola, and I have the opportunity. I'm the director of Care and Counseling Ministries here at New Life Church, and I have the opportunity to bring today's message. But first, what I'd like to do is say Happy Mother's Day also to everybody. I'm a mom. I have a 17-year-old daughter who is, her name is Caitlin, and my husband is here today somewhere. Oh, he's in the picture, actually. And so that's my family, and I love being a mom. It's probably one of the biggest rewards I have in life. I think that it's amazing to watch a little bundle of joy, who I don't know what to do with when I first had her, grow up and make it this far to 17, and watch her have her own passions and her own desires and to grow her own faith with God. And obviously it's a struggle being a parent, whether you're a mom or a dad or anybody raising a child. You don't know what you're doing. I've had many conversations with God over time of, you know, you create this vast earth. You create these intricate, dynamic things in life. Really, you couldn't have created a baby with a handbook that comes flying out when you have her. Seems like something that could have been done, but pretty simply, but never happened. So, you know, it's okay, because now she's going to be a senior this next year, and she's looking at colleges and her future, and I realize that college funds can be turned into therapy funds, and so we'll be good if that's needed. So, but we're not here to talk about therapy funds. We're here to continue in the series of AD, and we've been following the television series and teaching alongside the show that has been going on entitled AD on NBC, and it'll be airing tonight, and the clip that you saw is a little taste of what will happen tonight. But where we're at is last week in the episode, and Pastor Ron preached last week, where we saw that Stephen was martyred. He was killed for his beliefs. He was stoned to death in a horrible way, and watching the show and watching someone be stoned like that it was a new reality for me. You know it, but to see it was really different. But, and he's killed for that because he believes that. And we are introduced to Saul. And he is a leader, a person who has strong convictions about the religious law and holding it. And he is not happy about the fact that people are believing in Jesus. They're moving forward. This thing keeps rippling out. More and more people believe, and they're frustrated. And so he wants it to end. And so he thinks by taking people, putting them in prison, killing Stephen was a good thing because his goal is to put an end to this message, right? To get back to the way things were. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pick up in Acts 8. That's where we're at, okay? And it's in Acts 8, 1 through 4, it says, "And Saul approved of their killing of him." And they're talking about Stephen. "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went." Now, I think this is incredible because Saul is just so adamant to putting it to an end. And yet it says in that very last verse that they're scattering, but they're still preaching it. So it's not working. But what's even more incredible is that this is a ripple effect of what happened back in Acts 1:8. And that's what we're going to focus on today, is Acts 1:8, where before Jesus ascends into heaven, he's already died, he's resurrected, he's proved that he's the Lord, he's appeared to the disciples, and his very last thing that he says to them is this command in Acts 1:8. And it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So here we are in Acts 8, all this time later, and it's being fulfilled. People are starting to scatter and move out into Judea and Samaria. See, Acts 1:8 is considered kind of a table of contents for the book of Acts. It talks about how you're going to be my witnesses, and in Acts 1 through 7, they're witnessing in Jerusalem. But then in Acts 8 through 12, they start to move. They move to Samaria and Judea, and then from Acts 9 to the end of Acts, they're going to the ends of the earth, Rome, and they keep going. And honestly, through the New Testament, it just keeps going. It ripples so far that you and I here today have heard the good news. It has gone that far. And so I think the power of this command is something that we have to figure out how it affects us and how it applies to us. And I use the word ripple effect because if you look in 1 Thessalonians 1:8, it says, "The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it." The funny thing is Paul's writing this to the Thessalonians, who we find out is Saul persecuting people. He's obviously been converted to Paul in his conversion. He believes, and he's commending them, and he's saying, the Lord's message rang out. Well, that word rang out in the Greek means to sound forth, to ripple as if you throw a pebble in the water and it rings out. And we have a picture of what that kind of looks like. That is, you see the drop. As it drops, it hits the water and it has these little rings, but then you see that it starts to expand out. So much motion, so much movement, it ripples out. Well, I believe that that's what's happening here from Acts 1:8. When we receive the Holy Spirit in the Pentecost, it starts to ripple out. So I looked up the ripple effect. And in the dictionary, it says, a situation in which one event causes a series of other events to happen. That was not a very exciting definition for me. So therefore, I researched a little further. And I found that in 1970, a man named Jacob Kunin, he coined the concept. And he put it this way. One small change can create a ripple that leads to greater change with profound impact. Now that's the gospel, right? That's the good news. With profound impact. It's not just a change that created a change and here we are with a change. With profound impact. What happened that day, fulfilling that command, that has rippled out to a place where all of us have heard the word, all of us have heard the good news, and it's still going to this day, and it will continue to go until Jesus returns. So we're going to look at how this applies to us today, how we fulfill this command. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start in. If you want to follow along in your notes, you can. If not, that's fine. But the first point is we need divine power to fulfill this command. The very first part of the scripture says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive. Which means that you will take, you will carry with you power. Now, in our world today, I would say that most of us want power in some way. Most of us want some kind of power, some kind of control. We don't want other people dominating us, and we never really want to feel less than. So, and we see power in a lot of ways. I mean, turn on the news, and you see power used in the wrong way all the time. It takes 15 minutes to figure out where people are misplacing their power. So power is important. Now, I've kind of had my own experience with misplaced power recently. When I turned 40, my eyes decided that they were more like 80, and I could no longer see a thing. Okay? I could see everybody out there, but to look down and read, I couldn't see anything. And it was getting frustrating, and I did the Walmart trip for the reading glasses, and those are attractive, and put those on, and you buy 5 or 10 pairs of those, but I still can't remember to bring them with me, and so I still can't see when I go to the restaurant because they have the romantic light, and I'm doing this, and it's not working, right? So I finally decide I'll go to the eye guy, and I do know what it's named if I think about it long enough, but I get an eye exam, and he says, well, I can give you some contacts that will help. And I was excited, because when he put them in, I could see it was great. So they put in an order, and they came, and the lady who checked me out said, oh, hey, one eye needs more power than the other. I didn't know if she meant one of my eyes has more power, or if I needed more power, but either way, I knew that she was going to stick a sticker on the box, and that one needs to go in my right eye. And that was great. So I got home, and after hours of trying to get them in, I realized that I put them in, and I'm so excited that they're in, and I'm spending all my time going, this is not any better. Matter of fact, I think I look like I'm crying. I don't know what's going on. I can't see very good. I get in the car to drive to work. I'm thinking, I am a hazard. It's kind of clear. It's kind of not clear. If I just blink really quickly, then everything's clear, you know? So I did this for about a week, and I was totally frustrated. But then I realized, what if she put the sticker on the wrong box? So I switch them. It takes me a week to figure this out, by the way. So I switch them, and oh, I can see. It's amazing, right? But that misplaced power, power in the wrong eye, or power in the wrong place, made me confused. It was agitating. I felt like I couldn't see clearly. I felt like I was a hazard, to be honest with you. But once that power was put in the right place, my path was clear. I could see what I needed to be doing. And that's how I see the divine power. The Holy Spirit, when it comes on us, it gives us a clear path. And so one of the things that we see is he mentioned this before. In John 16:7, it says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, when he said this, they did not want him to go away. Think about it. Their relationship with Jesus was all about love. They were being accepted. They saw change. People had hope. They were hoping for great things to happen. They did not want him to go away. They didn't know what an advocate was probably at that time, and they just wanted him. But see, we needed him to go away. Why? Because when he resurrects and proves that he is God and he is Lord, we're going to continue his work, and the only way he's going to be with us is through the Holy Spirit. And the power we saw in Jesus is the power we now have to continue his work with confidence and grace and a boldness. Not only that, the word advocate can also be used as comforter. Picture yourself wrapped in a big comforter. My daughter is constantly in blankies. She feels warm and snuggly. Well, what does that warmth bring? It pushes out the elements, and it also brings a peace. When we're warm, we feel calm and we feel secure. Envision the Holy Spirit wrapping itself around you, filling you, and you're carrying that with you everywhere you go. The Holy Spirit changes who we are. It softens our hearts. It transforms our minds. I think it tames our tongues. It just changes who we are. For me, I think I went from being fearful of people and judging people to I believe I can love every person who comes my way. We can love all people. We don't have to like what we do or what I do or what you do. We don't have to understand it, but we can love them, right? That is the power of the Holy Spirit. So it changes us. It transforms us, and it teaches us. In John 14:16, it says, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." I have heard people say that in situations where they've had a chance to talk to other people or they're trying to talk about their faith, all of a sudden a scripture comes to mind. They don't even know if they've ever read it before, but there it is. That's the Holy Spirit working in them, teaching you, reminding you what you need. Now, why do we need this divine power? Because we're continuing the ripple effect. And that power gives us the power to be bold and courageous and confident. But in point two, it also helps us because we're called to show and tell what he's done for us. Now, in Acts 1:8, it says we will be his witnesses. His. Not witness to us, but witness to him, right? What do you think about the word witness? And I know Pastor Ron's talked on this. But we think of legal terms usually. That we're going to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. That's exactly what the apostles were doing, right? They were proclaiming their truth, and that is they saw him resurrect. They have spent time with him. They saw him ascend into heaven, which can we imagine? What would you think if you saw someone go up? Well, actually, what would you think if you saw someone resurrect? That's even greater, right? But they were testifying their testimony about what they saw. They were publicly speaking about it, and it was causing a ripple effect. It was getting other people's attention as they were hearing. It was getting other people's attention who didn't want to hear it. Saul didn't want to hear it anymore. He wanted it to end. And what I love about witnessing is that the reason why I say show and tell is some of us are not that great with our words. You know, I was saying last night, and I don't know why I said it, but, you know, I'm not going to go put my milk down in the aisle, and then when the guy next to me puts down his milk and be like, "Hey, you heard of Jesus?" as you're checking out your milk. It's not me. Now, for those of you who can do that, that's amazing. For me, I'm like, "Hey, you buying milk?" You know, that's not me, right? So for me, it comes through me through showing, through actions. I'm more of a person who would rather listen and love you where you're at. To be able to accept all of our weirdnesses and love on you and listen and not judge and do the best I can, because I think that's what Jesus would do. We all have different gifts and we're all going to witness differently. So don't think that witnessing is only the verbal, though that is necessary. My example of that is that's how I operate. And most of you know that I'm a family therapist. That's what I do. I had a young man who was an atheist. I saw him for a really long time. He was adamant about being an atheist. I was adamant about that's good for you. I accepted him where he was at. I never once really told him a lot about Jesus. My job was just to hear him out. He was so frustrated, so angry. Years had gone by, he came back as a young man now, very tall. He didn't have weirdness, hair color or anything. He looked really different. I didn't recognize him. And he asked me why I didn't hit him over the head with the Bible and with scriptures. And I said, mostly because that's just not who I am. It's my job to accept you. You're where you're at, and it's God's job to rattle your cage and to get your attention. It's my job to love you no matter what, because he loves me no matter what. And then he asked me if he could accept Christ. That was an awesome thing. And all I could think was, this, God, you're working overtime all the time to save people's lives. It's not my job to save anybody. It's my job to love them like you love me. It's my job to be a ripple in your great command and in your great world, to do the best I can and let you use my gifts through me, through your Holy Spirit. And what I love is in Acts 8:1, where we started off, it says, all except the apostles were scattered. I find that totally important because the apostles had a title. A lot of people knew that they had rubbed shoulders with Jesus. But who is going and spreading the word? Us. Everyday people. The people who had heard, and they're the ones scattering and giving testimony to what they knew. And what I love is once the Holy Spirit comes, we never read again in the New Testament where people are afraid to speak of Jesus and of the good news. Never again. The Holy Spirit transforms everything. There's no more fear. So one of the things I want to encourage us to do in our witnessing is to know that we all have a story. We all have a testimony. Now, I went to a Christian college, and I'm amazed at how many people said they didn't have a testimony. It was mind-boggling to me. Or they'd say they didn't have a good testimony. What is a good testimony? Right? I mean, a bad testimony would be that we're not talking about Jesus and we're fulfilling ourselves, right? But a good testimony is anybody who has a relationship with Christ, what has that done for you? People who have told me, well, I've lived in a Christian home my whole life, raised in Christian schools, I've always believed. I am not from that world. I'm interested in your story because you've had way longer to know Christ. What has he done? How has he impacted you? How has he transformed you? You have a story and a powerful one. Everybody who knows him has a testimony, and we all have the ability to testify and be witnesses on his behalf, right? Everyone. In 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Timothy knew that he needed to continue passing on his witness and his testimony. Why? Because this ripple effect needs to keep going. It's not going to stop. When the Holy Spirit enters us, it moves and it's powerful, and we should be moving and the ripples keep growing. And so therefore, Timothy knew when he was telling others, he needs to make other disciples. He needs to share his good news. He needs to share love and what Jesus did for him so others will continue it on, continue the ripple effect. Now, this should compel us to do a few things. Receiving the Holy Spirit, it should compel us to witness. But the third thing is it should compel us to move. We need to be willing to move. And why is that? Well, the ripples need to keep going. You'll notice in that picture that there was little ripples in the beginning. But they're going to move, right? They can't just stay there and be small. So we're not supposed to accept the Holy Spirit and then just say yes and then stand still and now I just want him to come back. I want it to be over now. I've got it. I'm good. Let's make it end. I hear a lot of people talking about wanting Jesus to come back. I do too. But you know what? In a lot of ways, I don't. Not yet. There are too many people I know who don't know him. There are too many people who do not believe and that are afraid. And they're afraid of the change. And what if he's not there for them? What if this is all a bunch of hype? Jesus has transformed my life. It is not a bunch of hype. So I want the Holy Spirit to flow through me and to flow through others, where the gospel and the good news and the message of love keeps going until he returns. See, our relationship with the Holy Spirit is active. Holy Spirit is alive, right? And well, and going with us everywhere we go. It pushes us to move. See, one of the things I think we forget is being modern-day disciples, apprentices, means that we're supposed to be imitators of what he did. We're supposed to be so close to Jesus that you would see the dust of his clothes on us. We're supposed to be so close to the Lord that we imitate. We have His thoughts. We have His heart. We have His mind. We have His compassion and His empathy and His love for His people. We can be modern day disciples. We are apprentices. In Acts 8:4, it says, those who had been scattered preached the word everywhere they went. Now, I want you to know that the word scattered doesn't mean that they were just running with fear. And then they were running for the hills and hiding and doing nothing. Scattered means to like scatter seed, knowing that something would grow. And what's growing? The kingdom of God. It's scattered so far that we all have heard. And we're hoping that more people are here. Now, the part about how we're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, all Samaria, Judea, to the ends of the earth. I don't know that we're supposed to just all launch into Jerusalem and then start going from there. I don't think that's feasible for some of us, and I don't think that's necessarily how it applies to us. So what's our Jerusalem? For a lot of us, it's our families. Starting there. Today's Mother's Day. Raising children, mothers and fathers, and anybody who's raising a child is hard, right? But that's where we start. It actually starts with us being willing to believe, being filled, and then witnessing to those in our own families, showing and telling it. But then how do we get to Samaria in Judea? What's that next circle, that next ripple? It could be our place of business. It could be that God is forcing a stage of life and a change in our life. Some people in here are going to be graduating students, and you're going to empty nest next fall. Some of you are, woohoo! Some of you are like, yeah, I don't know. I want them to come back. You don't. Trust me, you don't. You want them to be successful, right? Bouncing back is not all that it's cracked up to be sometimes. But that's a stage of life that God forces that comes naturally. And when we empty nest, we need to make new friends. We have to fill the gap. Maybe we have to find a hobby or do something new. God also forces other stages of life. Where we have grown our kids, they're living their lives. What do? Maybe we've never had kids. Who are we? We're in college or we're older. I think sometimes we have to ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes. Who are we running into? Who is in our path? Where are our opportunities? Not only to preach the gospel, but to show God's love. Sometimes we have to get out of our bubbles. And that is that everybody we know is Christian. Our families are Christian. Our friends are Christian. Our world is Christian. Every activity we do is with Christians. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I am going to say that it's very safe, right? Our world is secure and it's predictable. God likes unpredictability because He knows what's going to happen, but we don't, and that means we have to trust. And He'll push your bubble. I think He pops it, but... And we'll be pushed and we'll move because if we have the Holy Spirit, in a lot of ways, we should be feeling this excitement to share, to witness, and to go. And then to the ends of the earth. Now, I don't know how much we talk about this or how many conversations we have about being missionaries or getting further in life, but I bet you there's people in here who have had the thought, I want to be sent. I want to go. I want to reach the nations to people who have never heard. To places where they don't look like us, they don't sound like us. I don't even know how to speak their language. I don't know what I would do, but I would trust the Lord that He would send and I would know and He would work through me. If you have that, if you want that, please don't let it die just because you don't know where to go. Seek it out. Internet's awesome for a lot of things. You can find that. We just saw on the screen the Nazarene missionaries are being sent. That's one way to do it. But I think one of the things I want to say is we all should have a world vision, right? Some kind of idea of where we want the world to be because God does. He wants all the people to the ends of the earth to be reached. And that's super important. And if He finds it important, we should find it important. Now, this ripple effect, I love because it seems like it's very tangible. It applies to us. But then I think about this command in Acts 1:8. Where we're supposed to go. He's going to send His Holy Spirit. We're going to have power. But add that with the Great Commission. So the Great Command plus the Great Commission, which is in Matthew 28:19-20. We see, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Makes a lot of sense, right? He's going to go, but we're going to continue his work. We're going to witness, not to say, hey, look what I'm doing for you, God, but to say, hey, look what God has done for me. And we're baptizing them. Because through baptism, we not only state what we believe, but we are filled with the Holy Spirit when we believe. And then we're going to teach them to obey, which is part of the witnessing. Why do we do what we do? Why do we live to the morals and values that we have? Not to judge or say we're better than others, but because we want other people to learn and see it walked out so they can do the same thing, so they can continue the ripple effect. So as we close, one of the things I want to challenge us all to do, and Chad's going to come and he's going to play a song, is that if you don't know Jesus, then I would welcome you to come. The ministry team's going to come forward. They'll pray with you. But then there's not just the people who don't believe, but what about the people who are feeling scared or stuck or don't know how to move? See, the ministry team's not just for us to pray about problems necessary or just for the believers. You realize the ministry team is for everybody. We're to pray for one another. We've been talking about that a lot. We want to partner with you. We want to talk with you. We want to pray with you. We want to give you options here at New Life Church to grow and move and be active. But today, if you could leave, and I'll pray for us before we close, how are you going to be active in your faith? This is, if you're going to follow Christ, then you're ready to run. You're ready to move. You're ready to always be on the go and have your eyes open to what he has for us. So if you want any of those things, we ask you that you come up and you pray before you leave. We're going to have a time of ministry. You can go afterwards or you can stay. If you're a mom, do not forget to take your rose. But let me close this in a prayer. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for every person who is here, Lord. I lift myself and every person to you and pray, Lord, that we would believe. I thank you that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, with your power, that we don't have to do it in our own power. Matter of fact, our power is not even needed. All you need is for us to obey. Lord, teach us to open our eyes and soften our hearts. Thank you for transforming us, but may we see people in a different light. May we see every person as someone who needs you so desperately. May we take up every opportunity, whether we speak it, whether we show it, Lord, use our gifts. But thank you for dying, for resurrecting, for showing yourself and proving that you are our Lord. And I give everybody to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Mother's Day.